Welcome to the Beyond the Diagnosis podcast with me, Dr. Kylie. I'm so glad you're here. If you find this empowers you to take back control of your health instead of relying on the system in any way, please share this with three of your friends. Invite them to come join us. Are you ready? Let's dive inside. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk today all about migraines. And I have my best buddy from one of my best buddies from school with me. We're now colleagues. We were once classmates. Now we're colleagues. This is Dr. Kirsten Lauritzen. She practices functional medicine, specializes in functional medicine in Portland, Oregon. So if you are in Oregon area, feel free to contact her. Her website is Gym Call or Dr. Kirsten. And you spell Kirsten, K-I-R-S-T-I-N. She has oodles of information on there. And today we're going to pick her brain about migraines because she has suffered migraines herself. And she's also figured out a way for you to overcome migraines naturally. So Kirsten, share with us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So I actually became a functional medicine practitioner because of my migraines.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. So led me to getting into chiropractic is after college, I came home and so my migraine started when I was like 17 or 18. I was taking the SAT exam and I got my first one. Actually, I was driving to my SAT exam. And I got an aura. And so what happens for me, and they're different for everybody, but what happens for me is I lose my peripheral vision on whichever side is affected. And so it just becomes this like really blurry thing. So like normally when you could see like your hand on the side of your face, like I can't see that. It's very, very bizarre. And it lasts for about 20 minutes. And then anyway, so this is what happened to me when I was in the car and driving to my SAT exam. And then once I got to take my test, that's when the pain came in. And it was the weirdest thing. I didn't know what was happening to me. And I don't even think I even talked about it until a little while later, I got another one. And then I was like, this is just not right. Like this hurts a lot. And this is really uncomfortable and weird. So we'll talk about this in a little bit, but there were a couple of things that changed with my physiology at that time that then led me to doing certain treatments that made my migraines even worse. And then when I got into college, I started noticing that when my midterms came up, every midterms and then finals, I would get a migraine around that time and then directly afterwards because of the way that like stress was interrupting and cortisol were interrupting my hormones and then also the inflammation and stuff that was happening in my body at the time. So then finally after college, I said, enough is enough. I need to figure this out because a lot of the other treatments weren't working. So that's how I found chiropractic. And then that's what led me to going to chiropractic school, led me to finding functional medicine. And then from there, I've learned a ton of different ways to work with and manage migraines. So very interesting stuff.
Did you have them like when we were in school?
Oh yeah, for sure. So throughout chiropractic school, without fail, like there, you know how when a lot of people would go home from like terms or whatever, and they would get sick, I would get a migraine like 2 or 3 days afterwards. Didn't matter what I ate. It didn't matter how like trying to, so hard to like stay as non-inflamed as possible and to de-stress as quickly and as much as possible. It didn't matter. Within a couple of days after finals ending, I would for sure get a migraine and I'd be out for a day. That was how it went.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I ever knew that.
I didn't talk about it a whole lot, probably because it just like chiropractic, it alone wasn't working. And so I didn't really know what to do about it. And so it wasn't really until I started getting into the master's program with functional medicine that I started realizing like, oh, there's even more that you can do, you know? So that's kind of the journey that I took. And yeah, it's been a long ride, I'll tell you that.
So what have you found that has helped you?
So one of the things that helped a lot is pursuing just different vitamin and mineral deficiencies. So looking, and it's kind of layered. So I would say chiropractic does help because if my neck gets locked up in any way, just because of any of the like training or anything that I do, that can start to just, you know, ball everything up. It changes the way my neck moves and range of motion. And so then that can just start the chain reaction. So I do say that chiropractic does help, but it doesn't help when it has something to do with nutrition inflammation, and it doesn't have anything to do if you aren't managing your stress well. So there's been several things that have worked really well for me, but one is meditation and making sure that I stay on top of my stress levels and overwhelm. That's been a huge one for me. The other one is just avoiding certain trigger foods, but that gets a little bit iffy, and we are definitely going to talk about that later on as we go. But food in general can be inflammatory, and then that's a lot of the times what triggers, what's an underlying cause of when I get my migraines is just because I've let my normal patterns slide. Another thing that's worked really well is more like muscle testing, chiropractic energetic work. I don't talk about that a whole lot either, but talking about applied kinesiology, talking about neuroemotional technique, talking about TBM, there's a couple of different chiropractic techniques that I've pursued with other practitioners that have really, really helped get even deeper into kind of underlying cause, stuff like that. So it's same thing like acupuncture, lots of different types of different physical medicine treatments, massage have also been super helpful.
Nice.
Yeah. And
speaking of acupuncture, I did have a question. I'll just jump to it because that's
sure
where we're at here. Someone asked me if acupuncture does help with migraines. And so you would say definitely it could.
Yeah, there's some research out there, and I can pull some of it up that we can maybe post, you know, later. But there is some research out there showing that that acupuncture can be really helpful for migraines. One of the reasons for that is because acupuncture as a whole is working on all of the systems in your body. They're really checking out. So acupuncture is, and I'm not super informed on acupuncture, but and educated on acupuncture, but I do know some of the basics. And so you have all these different points around your body, which is what they, you know, they stick the needles into in order to stimulate different systems. So they're looking at, you know, how every single organ system is functioning, and that's what they're ultimately treating. So if you say like, okay, so if they find that your, you know, liver, and of course they also think in like hot and cold. So they're looking at a bunch of different ways that the body's energy systems work. But, you know, if your liver is backed up, they can find that and they can see that and then help treat so that you move stuff through. So I think it's a really great way to help keep in some ways like lymphatic systems draining. I think it's a great way to just activate certain organ systems to try to make sure that those don't get backed up and then create some type of inflammation or toxicity. And I think just overall, a lot of chasing down migraines is a lot of just chasing down inflammation. So acupuncture, again, can really help to like relax muscles. It can help to do all sorts of stuff that helps to just and boost the immune. I mean, there's lots and lots of things that acupuncture can do. But yes, the research that is out there does suggest that acupuncture can be helpful with migraines. But there's a lot of things.
Yeah, one of those research articles I pulled. So yeah. A study involved 401 migraine sufferers and chronic headache sufferers. They split the group in half, and half the group received 12 acupuncture treatments over 3 months, while the rest were treated by their primary care doctor and given drugs when they needed them. After 12 months, the acupuncture group had less severe headaches, 22 fewer days of headaches, used far less medication, and had fewer visits to the doctors for their headaches. They even had fewer days off of work. So acupuncture helped that group. Kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. It is cool. And one of the things too that I like to, when somebody comes into my office and they say that they're dealing with migraines and that's what they're looking to treat as kind of one of their primary concerns, is that you've got to be open to trying all sorts of things. Because when you actually go to the research to look at what is effective and not effective for treating migraines, there's a lot of information out there, and you're going to find that like a lot of the different, like they find that, you know, some people were helped by this, others weren't. Some people were helped by this other one, others weren't. And you're going to find that that's what you're going to see across the board with migraines versus like, I would always like to see, you know, something's like 100% effective. Like that would be so amazing, but it's not really the case because people are so different. So I think that we can talk about this too in a little bit, but when we're looking at treating migraines, and if we're looking at it from the perspective of treating with like a medication, so lots of people do take medications for treating migraines. And one of the The reasons we do that is because that's what we think is an okay way to manage the pain. But there's so many other research methods that can be helpful for certain people. But you have to be willing to go on that journey and find what's going to work for you.
Right. And I love that. I love you when you say find what works for you, because it's different for everybody. And yeah. I always say, when we went to a school that was very, very, very research oriented. Yeah. So we knew how to scrutinize research more than I would ever care to scrutinize on my own. but what I tell people is, if you want to find something, you can find it. Whatever you're looking for, you'll be able to find whatever you want to support anything moving forward in your life, whether it comes to food, like what food is good, what food is bad. I mean, you can find anything you want, cholesterol. You can find anything you want on red meat. It's just a matter of what are you searching for. That's what you'll be able to find. Cool stuff.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the research that we're just discussing, some people have identified specific foods as culprits.
Yeah.
And I know you and I were talking about this yesterday with your top food culprits. So the first one would be wine. Do you want to dive into more of that? Because you know a whole lot more about that than I do.
Yeah, for sure. So actually, personally, one of the things that I found when I was going through this is that one of my triggers turned out to be champagne and white wines, which is very unusual because usually it's red wines that trigger people because of the sulforaphanes that are in them. And as I've started to kind of dig into this journey a little bit more too, what I've found is that there are a lot of wines that are produced similar to other foods, just as you've heard before, that there are some that are produced and they are not organic. They use certain chemicals and things to do what they do as far as fermenting wines. And so sometimes getting a very, very top quality wine, there's a lot more that you can dig into when you start to get into that wine world. I will say I'm not an expert because I really don't drink a whole lot. But what I did find though, and again, this is where it's just different per person, is that like white wine and champagne for me still, like I just avoid them because they can trigger a migraine, even if I've been like really good with all of my stuff. So you'll usually see me trying out red wine, but it's still, the point though is if it is a trigger for you, it's something that you definitely want to kind of unravel a bit more. Caffeine is another one. So, and this is a tricky one because what I used to do in school, because I didn't ever get on medications for migraines because they weren't that chronic for me. Like some people suffer from migraines, they get one like once a week almost. Some of them have chronic, like literally a migraine every single day. Some people like me get them periodically throughout the year. So I never even pursued the medication route to begin with. But one of the things that you can do is you can, so what happens with a migraine, it's when your body, your brain goes through a period of time where it quickly vasoconstricts and then vasodilates. And that is what, and it's that change in blood going through the brain, all those blood vessels, all of those things that bring lots of really great things to your brain. It quickly just clamps down on those arteries and then brings them like really, really wide. And that is ultimately what triggers migraines. So what coffee does is, and caffeine, is it actually forces more vasodilation. So you get more nutrients to the brain. So what some people will say is to take like an Excedrin. Excedrin usually has caffeine with a painkiller. The reason for that is because it helps to get that painkiller to the brain faster. So caffeine. Yeah. So caffeine can be, so what I used to do when I like had to get, you know, actually perform on a day, like
when
I had
to take a presentation,
I had to take a test, totally. Like anytime I had to do something when I had a migraine, because for some reason it didn't ever occur to me that I could email people and my teachers and be like, I have a really bad migraine. I can't do this today. Never occurred to me to do that. So I was like, okay, we're just going to take a lot of Excedrin, some caffeine, and here we go.
I remember going into finals weeks and I remember like radiology tests and I'd walk up to Dr. Schultz and be like, if I leave, I'm going to throw up. I'll be right back. I promise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. So anyway, caffeine, what it does is it can really help to bring that painkiller to your brain a little bit faster. The problem though is that sometimes people are actually sensitive to caffeine, and it can also be inflammatory to the GI tract in some people, not everybody, in some people. So you need to figure out if you are one of those people, and then from there figure out what you need to do as far as that goes. Again, it gets complicated though, right? Because if you're getting caffeine from tea or from coffee, it's different. Tea and coffee each have their own ways where there's pesticides and toxins and all sorts of junk that's in them. So again, it might not be the coffee or the tea itself or the caffeine itself. It could be something that's in those foods that's triggering some of your issues too. So you've got to, as I mentioned at the beginning of this, you really have to be willing to start to root out some of these things and just take it one step at a time to see what ultimately could work for you. Other foods that can be tricky are chocolate. Also, cheese is another one. Let's see, what's some other ones? Oh, citrus can be another food that, because some people are sensitive to citrus. Again, you're starting to kind of get into this kind of food sensitivity, food allergy panel stuff, that kind of world that. There are some people who think that food allergies and sensitivities, there's actually some research out there that suggests that food allergies and food sensitivities have a lot to do with migraines. And I will just say that I don't think it has everything to do with it, but because I'll talk about another piece of research later that I think is kind of going a step further beyond where food sensitivities are ultimately coming from and why they may be connected. But also things like monosodium glutamate, so MSG, which you'll see in a lot of like Chinese foods, soy sauce, those types of foods. It's just a sodium that they usually put in different types of foods. But for people like me who are sensitive to it, if you see me the next day and my face is just like crazy bloated and I've, you know, gone out to eat somewhere where I didn't realize they had MSG in it, I'll know that it had MSG in it because I just bloat like crazy. Aspartame is another one a lot of people see, which is an artificial sweetener. So a lot of artificial sweeteners can be really toxic to the body, as well as food dyes, things like that. They can increase a lot of issues, not only with hormones, but just with liver in general. And if your liver gets backed up, it's not going to be able to process through not only your own hormones, but a lot of the toxins and chemicals that we're exposed to every day, which is an entirely different conversation. But when that gets backed up, it's not filtering things out of your blood very well, which means that it can filter through the rest of your body. So we've got to think about, you know, what's happening everywhere. Just trying to think if there's any other foods that I missed.
Well, on your list is that you've got wine, hot dogs, yep, with MSG.
Oh yeah, so the nitrates. So hot dogs, certain types of bacon, a lot of them are, they use nitrates and nitrites in order to cure them. The problem though is that those can be trigger foods for people, especially for migraines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's just give them like the top eight real fast. So the top eight, okay, we've got wine, mm-hmm, hot dogs or MSG and nitrates. Number three, chocolate. Four, sugar. Five, dairy. Yes. Six, gluten. Seven, caffeine. Eight, things like citrus, yeast, too much salt, corn, yep, that type of stuff.
So yeah, I miss the heavy hitters like dairy and gluten.
Dairy and gluten. It's because we're so used to talking about cutting those crap out and we just like skip right over it. So when it comes to figuring out what are your triggers, what would be the best way that you suggest to do that?
Yeah, so So what I say usually is to follow an elimination food plan or elimination diet. I don't really like the word diet, but we're going to use it as a term for now. And when I mean diet, I mean just eating certain foods. I don't mean like cutting out foods to lose weight. So I'm talking about cutting out these inflammatory foods that are potential triggers. And then what you do is, and also keeping in mind too, that if we're going down this road of food sensitivities and food allergies, there may be things still on that elimination food plan that you might still be sensitive to, and that also could be triggers. So my thing to keep it simple is to just cut out your major problems, the major big ones, run an elimination food plan for at least 30 days, If I can get somebody to go up to 6 to 8 weeks, so about 2 months, it's hard to do, but people do it and they do it well, and it is possible. And then, because if you do that, you've given your body plenty of time to clear a lot of the junk out. So you've got to give it a lot of time to settle. And then what you do is you slowly increase, you take one of those foods. So let's say caffeine or citrus, for example, you introduce those foods and then you like literally eating like one a day or a cup of coffee, and you wait 3 days to see if any symptoms come up or a migraine is triggered. And then once you've gone that 3 days, then you can try the next food. Then you can try the next one. Then you can try the next one. And while still maintaining throughout the rest of your plan, the elimination type food. And then
when you say the big major ones, what are they?
Yeah, like the 8 ones that I just mentioned. So okay. the
wine, hot dogs, wine, chocolate, cheese, sugar, dairy, gluten, caffeine.
Citrus. Yeah. Yeah.
And for sure, dairy, plans, for sure, yes. Gluten. For sure, yep. Sugar. Get
yes,
rid of them.
And corn.
And corn.
Would be good too. You got
I like my alcohol on the cob, so it's not going to be that time of the season for me.
I know. So, and what I say about that is if you can get like an, or if you can make sure that it's organic and as it's impossible now, but as non-GMO as possible, you can kind of get away with it, but it's the exposure to pesticides and the way it's been changed as much as it has that the body just doesn't recognize it. So.
I know, but it just tastes so good.
I know. Yeah. So anyway, that's what you do. You go through that plan. I actually created a book. I wrote a book called The 30-Day Reset, which was designed as a food, like as a food plan, because what was happening is I was telling my patients, I need you to do this. And then they would struggle to figure out how to implement it. And so I created a meal plan, and I created a book centered around figuring like a literally 4 weeks of a food plan too, and recipes and all that kind of stuff to help people implement it.
If you want recipes and ideas, go get that book. Where can they find it?
They can find it at Jim Call. So like we said before, so jimcall.com, jimcall.com/30-day-reset. And we actually are doing a rebrand, but I will make sure that that link connects to where you're going to be able to find it. But that's where it's at right now.
It'll also be on the Dr. Kirsten site somewhere. Just go there and yes. Be able to find it.
You'll find it.
She's fine.
If you don't, just get in touch right with me and I'll get it to you.
Yes. Recipes, ideas, ways to walk through this elimination diet that she does well with her patients right there with that 30-day reset. So when it comes to, besides the elimination diet, I know I've struggled with patients and I've worked with food sensitivities and gut issues a lot, just like you. Some of them are very, very religious when it comes to taking food sensitivity labs.
Yes.
And I have a really difficult time with this.
Yeah.
But I want to know what your opinion is on the pros and cons with taking an actual lab. Because you can thumb through Facebook, and I've had these ads pop up where it's like, buy your food sensitivity test for $99. You can order it. And now whatever method it is, whether it's like a finger prick or some piece of stool sample, whatever their method is, it's not always the most accurate, for one. And for two, when they're testing food sensitivities, they're only testing it in the raw form. So the proteins in foods will change when you combine it with other foods, like say a casserole, or two, when you cook them, the proteins will change. So I had one patient who wouldn't even eat regular vegetables, like carrots and just simple cauliflower, broccoli, things like that, because they came up positive on her food sensitivity test. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was eating literally like 5, 6, 7 things every day, all day long. That's the only thing she would eat. So what is your opinion?
Yeah.
What is your experience with food sensitivity testing?
Okay. So let me break that down into kind of 3 parts. So number one, food sensitivity testing, as you mentioned, can be really tricky just because there are a lot of labs right now that are putting out tests that haven't been tested for, you know, specificity, sensitivity, just really well done research on how effective the labs are. So
the accuracy of the labs, right?
Yes, the accuracy of the labs. So what's really important is to research the test that you want run. Sometimes, and I know that labs can get very expensive, but sometimes it's worth, if you want that test done, it's worth spending the money to get it done right the first time than to get a lab done that may or may not be 100% accurate and then have to spend more money later on because what you learned then wasn't the full picture. Okay, so the other problem that I have with food sensitivity panels is that we've put so much into food sense, like it's all about food sensitivities, and I still see it because this was what was super popular like 5 or 5 to 7 years ago. It was all about food sensitivities. The problem though is that you've got to think, where are those food sensitivities coming from, right? So we're going to go to the gut next. One thing that can happen with, literally the reason why people get food sensitivities starts with what's happening in the gut. With inflammation, with how the immune system works, a lot of the immune system, like 60 to 70% of your immune system is at your GI tract level. So if you have what we would call leaky gut or intestinal permeability, where the cell linings, the joints in the cell lining get a little bit loosey-goosey, that's ultimately where food sensitivities come from. The problem is that if you don't fix what's happening in the gut and you just cut out certain foods, then those certain foods that you're now eating can turn into food sensitivities because the process is still there, right?
Amen, so
yes. So we really have to start critically thinking about why and where are these things coming from. The other piece too is that one of the research articles that I mentioned before is that they put, I don't remember what the number of subjects was in the research article, but they had chronic migraine sufferers and they found that when they put them on a probiotic, 40% of them improved their migraines. So they had less frequent migraines and I think they even found that they were less intense as well, but I know for sure they were less frequent. 40% improved with a probiotic. So if you think that tracking down food sensitivities is where you want to start, you also have to consider what is happening in the gut. There was one other thing I wanted to say about food sensitivities. It was, then the other thing too is when you cut out certain foods, like for example, carrots, broccoli, veggies of all types, each one of those every plant fiber, let me back up. There's a reason why we want you to eat a variety of fruits, vegetables, meats, all sorts of stuff. We want a large variety because the fibers that are there help to promote certain bacteria to be in the gut. So one of the things that I see a lot of is when people have a lot of chronic gut symptoms, they've cut down their foods so much. And so they're very, very restricted to certain foods. The issue though, is that when you do that, I don't want people to then just go eat a bunch of foods because it's going to cause them pain and bloating and all that. You've got to work on the problem in the first place. But one of the things you need to get to though is from that place to where you're eating a large variety again. You need to figure out what the steps are in order to get to that place, because when you cut out those different types of fibers, it's very, very difficult to keep good bacteria that you want, that keeps you healthy, to stay around because you don't have enough there to help keep it there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. One of the ways I explain it to patients is, you know, you can, like, say for example, you find out that corn is a culprit for your migraines, or you find out that sugar is a culprit for your migraines, and you know that on July 4th, you're going to go to this barbecue and you're going to eat sugar. You're going to have corn on the cob or whatever is there, but you also know that because of that, you're going to regret it later with a migraine. There's a way to fix this. It's not always, you don't always have to go through sensitivities or live life in this sensitivity bundle. In fact, there's a new term, I don't know if you've heard of it, but orthorexia is a term that they have actually deemed as in people so restrictive to their diet that it's now become a food problem, like anorexia and bulimia. It can be such a big problem now. So one of the ways that you can fix this and actually get to where you can eat a lot of things again is by destroying and rebuilding your gut.
Yep.
So I have a mini course on how to do this, destroy it and rebuild it based off of the labs that you've already taken as you're listening to this. Believe it or not, you can find if you have parasites or if you need more hydrochloric acid, if you need anything inside your gut that will help you to get back to eating the foods that you want to eat without suffering from a migraine later, that's all found in the Free to Heal Gut mini course. You can find that on my, let me see where it's going to be at my website. So drkylieburton.com/free to heal, or you can find it at the personalized roadmap site. I'll put the links in the below, but you'll be able to walk yourself through how to destroy and rebuild your gut in a proper way so that your food sensitivities can now not be food sensitivities. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's awesome. Love it.
If you're suffering from food sensitivities, like Kirsten's saying, you got to do something about the source of it. And then they're not going to be sensitivities forever.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah. And I think also too, when you're looking at other things like candida, when you're looking at other issues that can come up in the GI tract, you have to think systematically about how you're going to get through that and how you're going to tackle it versus just kind of stay in this state. Like, I think people lose a lot of hope because there's a lot of, like, I don't think, so people have found you. But there's a lot of people who still don't really know that there are other options beyond just going to your PCP, your primary care, and getting a pill for what, you know, and then they may tell you to take a probiotic. But the problem is that that's not the whole picture. So there's a lot of other things that people can be doing to get out of that stage of like, I am afraid to literally eat anything else except for these foods because my gut is going to hurt. I'm going to be doubled over in pain because my gut hurts so bad. Or I'm going to end up with a debilitating migraine that if it's the 4th of July, then the next days I can't do anything with my family because I'm going to be upstairs in bed and tell everybody to leave me alone. You know, nobody likes to live that way. You know, you want to get your life back because you want to go out on a boat with your kids, you know, the rest of the weekend, and you want to be able to enjoy that piece of cake or that piece of pie without this fear of losing out, missing out on what's coming up next or not going to see your kid's basketball game. You know, there's like so many in the, with the bright lights and the loud noises, like the worst place in the world when you have a migraine or a concert, right? There's so many things that people miss out on due to migraines that it just, there's so many. Like, it's just not, you can totally overcome and at least decrease the frequency for sure and intensity of these things by just taking a different approach.
So if you were to say someone wants to come in to you as a patient with a migraine, migraine is their number one topic, what would be like the first three steps that you would walk them through or that they could do at home listening to this?
Yes. So if they came into the office, one of the things we do is a component of what we do is chiropractic, physical body medicine, if they're not already getting it. The second thing is getting the right labs drawn. So I want to know, based on their history, based on their exam, collecting a lot of information, we then will run certain labs in order to figure out what's happening in their body. So sometimes I'll run a gut panel. Sometimes I'll run a nutrition panel that shows me some toxicity levels, possibly heavy metal levels, that shows me just the start of where things are. And then if they say that their migraines go along with their periods or their hormone cycles, we may even run a few hormone panels to get a little bit more information as far as what's going on with that system as well. So then the third is figuring out the right approach based on all of that information. So if you're doing this, and I will say that will have something to do with food, that will have something to do with certain types of therapeutic supplements, because I'm not just throwing a multivitamin at everybody. they're always very specific for that person. And the thing is that like, I don't throw the same protocol at everybody because, and I can't ever tell you how long it's going to take in order to get to the place where you want to get to. Because everybody's so different and everybody's case is based specifically on them. It's very frustrating in a way because I can't say, oh yeah, in 3 to 4 months, we're going to be good to go. It could be a year. It could be 18 months from now. You know, it could be that we work for a year and then you have a journey to complete after that. It's so dependent on the person. But that, I think, is the sign of somebody that's saying, look, like, I want to figure out what's wrong with what's going on in your body, not necessarily wrong, but what's going on in your body that's preventing you from getting to this place. And let's figure out what we need to do. What do we need to fix in that line in order to get us to that?
Yeah. So migraines are one of those things. It's not just a one answer type deal.
And I'm no, sure but I would
if
say
listening to this, you understand that.
Yeah. To answer that question though, of what people can do from home, honestly, start with food, figure out what some of those triggers are, start there, gain some information about where you're at. And then what I would do is I would start to look up some information about intestinal permeability, inflammation of the GI tract. And then, so leaky gut is another one that'll pop up with a lot of things, and then kind of start your journey from there. And also I have an online migraine course that can walk you through a lot of these things to do at home to sort of troubleshoot some of that as well.
Cool. When it comes to food sensitivity testing, I have found that the best and most accurate test is from a place called Cyrex Labs. And they test, when I talk about how it's just food in the raw, they test a variety of different food groups as well as individual foods. So if you really want to know the truth about food sensitivity and you're looking towards testing, Cyrex Labs would be where I would recommend.
And I would say too, the last thing, I don't want to just harp completely on food sensitivities, like you should never get it run. One of the reasons to run a food sensitivity panel is to know exactly what to cut out from the beginning so that you don't have to kind of troubleshoot. You just know from the get-go. And then what you can do though, is then you can have something to start with and get you feeling better, as usually pretty quickly when people cut out those foods, especially if they're eating a lot of them, they start to feel a lot better really quickly. But then you have the data so that when you're, 6 months in, a year in, 8 months in, 4 months in, you can run a new panel when so many other symptoms have cleared up, and you can see as some of those foods have started to drop. So it's a great way to also see how your body can heal.
Yeah.
So they're not all bad.
I like food sensitivity testing.
Discourage it.
Like, take the test, take an accurate test. That's what we're trying to tell you guys. Don't just spend the $99 on whatever test pops up on your Facebook feed. Get an accurate test, fix the gut issues, cut out the food, retest, and you'll be shocked at the difference. Mm-hmm. Okay, so closing up here, Kirsten, do you have any few pieces before I ask you one other question I had in regards to migraines?
Yeah, so I want to talk really quickly about... Let's talk really quickly about a few supplements that people can start to look into that have been found in research to be effective with treating migraines. I'm not going to give you dosage. I'm not going to, do any of that. I really want people to go talk with their physician to know what would be the appropriate thing to take. And again, a lot of these you can get tested for and see if you are deficient. So, but I'm going to give you kind of a general list because I get asked this question all the time. So magnesium is number one. A really big one, riboflavin. So vitamin B2 for people who have general headaches, vitamin B2 is a really, really common deficiency. And so even if you don't have a migraine specifically, but you have you get headaches periodically, I'll say try vitamin B2. Also CoQ10, also alpha lipoic acid. Alpha lipoic acid is super interesting because it's a very, very high and a potent antioxidant, and it's used a lot by the liver. So if alpha lipoic acid is deficient or it helps, you might want to pursue a little bit more with working on detoxification in the liver. Because we did talk about gut.
Yeah, when she says alpha lipoic acid, that's ALA, omega-3.
Yep. And also essential fatty acids on that note. So other omega types of omega-3s, EPAs, DHAs, all that kind of jazz can be extremely helpful with reducing inflammation that can happen with migraines, but can also happen with cramps and those other types of symptoms that can happen around cycles. So if anything's connected, fish oils can be really helpful. Other ones are vitamin C and vitamin B12 can sometimes be helpful as well. I think that was it. I think the main point is that if you go to the doctor and they look at the research and they're looking at doing like sumatriptan versus magnesium, what you'll find in the research is that different types of triptans are effective at treating migraines in like 59% of the population, whereas magnesium taken orally, 41%. But when you look at the side effects, though, there's more side effects as far as GI discomfort that can happen from oral magnesium. And triptans are, you might see like 6% overall have some type of side effect. But when you start to look a little bit deeper, IV magnesium is a lot more effective in people who were deficient in magnesium before they started treatment and can be even more, like 89% more efficient at treating migraines in people who were already deficient. So when you start to look at the research, it sometimes seems like the easiest approach would be to go after the medication because it's seemingly more effective. But when you actually start to look a little bit deeper into the body, which is what I want everybody to take away from this, is that then when you consider there are so many chemicals that we get exposed to on a daily basis and toxins, there are like hundreds of thousands of enzyme processes that are happening in the body. And then there's a bunch of different types of experiences and all sorts of stuff that you go through on a daily basis that's very, very unique to you. So when you take all of this into consideration, just saying put a medication into the system, like I'm not harping on medications in the sense that I want you to start thinking critically about why you're doing and taking certain things. Because ultimately what I want is for everybody to start to understand more how their body functions so that they can become advocates for themselves, and then you can start getting deeper into the whys. There's never just one why. Like I say that like never. And sometimes there's just one reason why people get a lot of things, but there's usually a bunch of different things that are happening. But it's ultimately about starting to get to the bottom of those so that you know where to start and you can make the most dent. You can make, you know, you can go the furthest by getting a little bit closer to where that's happening. Because taking medications for migraines works when you get a migraine. There are not that many that help to reduce the frequency and intensity as if you start to dig a little bit deeper into why you got them in the first place, and then they can become a lot less frequent and a lot less intense. Sometimes gone forever. Just depends.
Nice. I like it. So one of the questions that I asked or was asked was about specifically B vitamins and migraines. And you mentioned B2, riboflavin works great. I found a research article that identified B6, B12, and B2 as helpful. They looked at 52 migraine sufferers, so not a very large group, but sufficient. They had 2 milligrams of folic acid, 25 milligrams of vitamin B in general, and 400 micrograms of B12 versus placebos for 6 months. And those that took the vitamin B supplements saw that their severity of attacks was cut in half, and also the number of attacks were cut in half. So according to the research, B vitamins can help. But just to reiterate what you said, magnesium, B2, CoQ10, ALA, and other omegas, vitamin C, and vitamin B12. So very helpful.
You got it.
Awesome. And I love that whole IV magnesium. Like people don't think other routes to take that. I mean, I know when I work with patients, sometimes we have to go through the skin because the GI tract is so destroyed.
Yes. Because if you can't absorb the nutrients through your GI tract, then sometimes you've got to go intravenously. So finding a naturopath that can do IV type injections with different types of nutrients is sometimes the best way to get somebody feeling better so that they're more willing to do some of the other things that you need them to do in order to get better. So also on that note, so there's something called a Myers cocktail that has magnesium, vitamin C, and a lot of different types of vitamin B. So like an entire B complex. And that is an IV drip of different types of nutrients. That one, and so going along with it, like IV magnesium can be extremely helpful. That one can also be very helpful for the treatment of migraines. So anyway. I know lots of options.
Like Arizona, they have IV clinics, basically.
Yes.
Where you pay like a monthly fee and they walk in and you can have any IV you want. Just
there you go.
Drop.
I wish they had that up here for vitamin D.
Yeah, in Portland especially.
Yeah. We don't see the sun very often.
I remember those days. We had rain last weekend, or over the weekend, I should say. And Andrew was like, don't you miss the rain? And no, I don't miss the rain.
It's raining here today and I'm not a fan.
But I do miss the green. The green yeah. of the gorge is very pretty. All right, Kirsten, thanks for joining us today. I'm going to cut the recording.
Thanks for having me.
Once again, if you have any questions, if you want to work on her migraine, what course? You have a migraine course, right?
Yeah, so it's called Dr. K's Migraine Relief Course.
Cool.
All about getting rid of migraines.
You can find that at Gym Call, or you can find that at Dr. Kirsten. If you want to go dive into migraine specifically. That is Dr. Kirsten Luritz, and ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Beyond the Diagnosis with me, Dr. Kylie. If you enjoyed this and you learned something new, if you felt empowered in any way, please go invite three of your friends to come join us. And then meet me right back here again next week.